convene the hearing, and the next submitters on our list are BD Farm Trust. Good morning and welcome. Thanks for putting in your submission, which we've read, so you don't need to read that out to us. But you're very welcome to highlight your key points, and then we'll see if we have questions for you. And if you've got any other material that you want to present to us, that's fine as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Firstly, if I'll just start with some general comments. My name's Leon Black. I farm Irmidale. It's part of the Porokino catchment. Family's been there since just after the turn of the century. That's the last one, not this one. I'm all sheep. I regard myself as quite an intensive operation. Articulated water system, fenced waterways, and more shelter on the property than the map shows. In terms of my farm operation, I have quite a high stocking rate, all sheep. It's mostly a stud operation, clients across New Zealand and a bit of export. We have my parents and my wife and four children on the property, along with a stud stock manager. I hope you can see the pink on the maps there. Does it show up? Almost all of my waterways are fenced off. There's one block down at the crossroads which has got the Amutu stream running through it, which I believe would be dangerous to fence. The crossroads comes down from a hill. It's a main artery into the Porokino and also the back road to Otaria.
Sorry to interrupt, could you just hold the map up and just show us? It's a bit hard to see. You've got colour, we've got black and white.
Yeah, so that's the Amutu that's not fenced off.
Right? Yeah.
And these waterways have all done. There's a sediment pond down the bottom end there that's not shown on the map because it's just been done in the last 6 months. So the reason for... the reason for not fencing off that part of the meadow is that any riparian planting or high growth would cut down the visibility of that crossroad. And I believe I would end up having somebody's death on my hand, even though they're supposed to give away. Intersections that come down from hills and busy cross sections don't always get that. It's always... And under the current rules with all stock, just an exclusion during winter grazing, it's not a big deal. I'm not sure whether you can see from that map, but the way I've fenced off my waterways, 3 metres one side and 10 metres the other. The reason for that is that low density sheep grazing keeps the weeds and rubbish out of that. Mm-hmm. It also precludes me from putting large intensive mobs or reducing the grazing or buffer zone, if you like to call it, through the winter grazing period. I've done that by choice. A, because I think it's practical for me. B, because I really hate drowned lambs in creeks. I did try some advice from Environment Southland years ago of closer in fencing, and I find that to be a completely unacceptable practice. There's one wee piece of it still remains near the road so I can show people what happens. But it grows weeds and cocksfoot, the banks, the road, cave into the waterway, and my lambs slip down the fence and get trapped and die. So hence the 3 and 10. I've still utilising my farm, but I just have a system of excluding intensive grazing and heavy stock from it. Okay, I'll start back with some of my general comments, please. The first one is to applaud Environment Southland on the process you've undertaken. And the reason for that is I have a fair bit of involvement nationally in different areas. One of them is the environmental space, and as past director of greenhouse gas research and New Zealand Beef and Lamb, I'm still involved in an environmental liaison group nationally. And I feel that the process that Environment Southland's taken is far more congenial to a good outcome. I'm pleased, Mr. Chairman, you've got your experience here, but I believe you've had experience with Horizons, which is still under litigation, and Canterbury, which we have bad press, and I know there's some community groups well pitted against each other. Mm-hmm. So the lessons you can bring to us will be very valuable.
Yep, there's 72 of those.
Indeed. I made a comment here that Rome wasn't built in a day, and I'll precursor that in that what we are looking for over time is a cultural change. and you need as much buy-in from the wider community as possible. I didn't grow up putting my seatbelts on, but my kids did. It's completely second nature. It's just a time and mentality thing that needs to be embedded, and it's something you can't turn on and off like a light switch. It phases in. As always, the devil will be in the detail, and I expect and I understand from the number of submissions you've received, there's a lot of concern out there, and that I can appreciate. So there are some terms and some references which make it probably tricky for the average individual in Southland to understand fully what's going on. I'm very pleased with the economic project that Southland did. It shows that we plant place out in trees, that 90% of Southlanders have to pack up and leave because there'll be no jobs for industry. And I don't believe that intensification will stop in Southland. If mankind stops at intensification, we pack up our cities, our towns, we go out gathering again, we reduce our lifestyle and our life expectancy. So not too many votes for that. It's just the unintended consequences from this intensification that we're looking to curtail.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, objective two, oh look, as I said, I think the policies that you have, if they've got a good buy-in in terms of social and economic well-being as well as environmental, you'll get a good uptake. So that's fine. And I see objective 8B has been changed to the drinking standards. That's fine as well. Again though, and I've made this comment to some staff here in Environment Southland, unless a catchment community buys into the regs, you're wasting your time. So you really have to have the majority of any given area agreeing in principle that the direction you set is right. Physiographic zones. I actually support that on the basis that there is some groundwork, and I've reviewed some of the work. I think it's credible, and I see there's some ongoing filtration work being undertaken on the physiographic zones currently with some modelling. I think on that basis it's a sound basis from which you can launch some guidelines. You call them rules, regulations, I don't care, but some baselines. I do believe, and there are some other comments and submissions, that should a zone be an impediment to any individual because of poor or wrong allocation, then Environment Southland will then have some culpability for any loss. And I'm not sure how you work that one through, but all New Zealand law is based on fairness and equity, and this should also apply. In terms of the big one, so stock exclusion from waterways, the Chair has already pointed out here today that we have a national directive coming at us. I concur with that. My involvement through the Land and Water Forum nationally was that stock should be, where practical, excluded. Now, excluding doesn't necessarily mean fencing, and as you can see from my own farm plan, long before all this stuff came in, I thought it was practical for me to keep stock from dying ditches out. I also have a client base across New Zealand, and some of these properties and some of the contour is simply not practical. So introducing or imposing a rule or a law that's not practical and not doable is, in my mind, really, really stupid. So I'll ask that, despite the national intent, and you'll have to live with that, that as best possible Environment Southland reflects where it can practicality in the exclusion of stock from waterways. And in some cases it will be doable with just a low cost wire, etc. But in other cases, simply put, you know, I'm at one place I know where the rock formation and the steepness of it would make it totally uneconomic for any sort of fencing program to begin. So it's one I believe the panel has to consider a balancing between practical doing and legal intent. In terms of winter crop, I'm pretty much a self-contained grass farmer, and my experience in farming overseas has led me to have a reasonable disdain for heavy nitrogen use. I do do low intensity, what you call grass and swede or soft turnip and grass crop on about 2% of my land area. I believe in fairness, and I believe that a rule which imposes a limited amount of area on people doing winter grazing may actually backfire on Environment Southland's intention to improve your waterways. Your land, my soil, is a filtration system. If you impose intensification to a degree where you have some of that degraded beyond repair, you will actually increase the amount. So I think in fairness there needs to be a percentage rather than a fixed rate. And certainly on some of the bigger properties, 50 hectares is completely unacceptable. So I'd actually ask you to think about the consequences of that. I'd be more afraid of intensive 35 plus crops on some soil types than I would be on 300 hectares of light crop, because you're going to really munt that area's soil structure and the filter system for water, and the consequences will be on the shoulders of the people making the rules. 15% would be as much as you allow. I think it's 10 to 15, somewhere in that range. And that's just a rule of thumb. Most properties self-contained would do 7 to 8. If it was a poor crop area and they had to do a late soft turnip to rejig the poor strike of swede crop, they might get up to 10 to 12. So I'm looking at a self-contained figure rather than a, this is my business model, I'm going to winter graze here. Farm plans. I believe as part of your culture change, that's probably the leverage tool you have. Catchments, groups, communities taking on the mantle of being good stewards for the land. Ultimately, I don't know many people that live in my area that want to muck up their backyard. It's not in our, psyche. I do have some problem with non-resident investors. I don't believe they have the same psyche, but that's a personal thing. All budgets, mine included, and I've done many for different entities, are always wrong. The exact number is never right, even if it's just slightly out and I made a profit of for an entity of 500,000, I predicted one of 495, it was still wrong. So I think any nutrient budgets or farm environment plans need to have two core objectives. A set of figures which is acceptable, and so a range of numbers which you have to lie within, and a trend in which you want to improve. So an exact figure from an overseer or a nutrient budget to me is a waste of time. It's a range which you need to fall in to be suitable for that area, and in this case say the physiographic soil type. And the trend in which you're being asked to travel is being achieved. So if you would kindly consider some of those, I think the likes of your Appendix N would become far simpler. And I think that's about me. So look, there's a lot of other issues, and I'm not qualified to speak on all and by any chance. But by and large, this process is right, and I endorse taking your time and getting it right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That's a very thoughtful and positive presentation, so thank you for that. I'll just see if we have any questions for you, Morris.
Thank you. I endorse those comments, Mr. Chairman. The only question I have is regarding the where practical, and the question I have is who decides?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are a number of outcomes of what's practical, Morris. Obviously, if the scale of your waterways is such an extent that it's economically not viable, then the question is it's probably not practical. If so, in a catchment group meeting recently, we went to a pretty good operator. He's invested $18,000 on 300 metres of very well thought out, managed 3-year contract plantarium, riparian planting. I estimated Huey's entire catchment on his farm, which is a sheep and dairy unit in our catchment, at 1.67 million if he undertook the same process over the entire length of his waterways. So that's not practical. Doing the main areas, or what we call the hotspots, and ensuring that's a good job, and then the minimum you have to get away with on the rest, and where it can't be done at all, just excluding stock from critical times.
Yeah.
You and I know there's times of year when it's really important that stock aren't on water banks or in waterways, and there's times of year where it's probably not that relevant.
Yeah. I guess from the council's point of view, we need to know that the where practical is being implemented in a way that does, you know, results in improved water quality or the maintenance of good water quality.
And that's probably the point, Maurice. It's actually everybody's looking at the inputs side of things and what they're going to do on farm and how much nitrogen or whatever. The real question we need to be asking is, so how are we affecting the outputs? Mm-hmm. And probably that's the rule of practicality. If by not doing it, it affects the outputs and increases your nutrient loss or sediment from a water body, then it's practical to do it.
Yeah. Very good, thank you.
No questions from me, because they're very clear.
Leon, thank you for your very rational submission and presentation today. Have you tried to, at any point, assess ENLP loss or something like mitigator or overseer, or have you had a look at that?
Yeah, so my EN output's 15. My balance rep tells me I don't have enough P on the property to grow anything, so it's very low.
So what are your Olsen P levels?
Actually, they're down at 12 to 16 at the moment. Yeah. And I have done an LEP plans from beef and lamb. I've been through a farm management plan with Environment Southland, and I'm just in the throes of trying to get Lucy running for her entire catchment. Lucy is a land utilisation capability indicator developed at Victoria University, software that came out of the UK initially. It's been trialled and calibrated on the demonstration farm here and in Lake Rotorua. It does an entire catchment and brings up the hotspots and assesses where we can best mitigate effects of practice. So to me, that's the holy grail. It's sort of a 3D model, Eric. Mm-hmm. I find overseer rather a blunt tool, particularly for the sheep and beef sector. It's just not got the credibility it really needs. So I've had some of my clients do overseer with three different operators and get three completely different figures.
Is the P levels of 12, is that a goal or an accident? Or?
No, it's probably an accident. Initially, one of the blocks that I brought my younger days had 40, which was just too high, so I farmed it down. And I've only just been ticking on maintenance. I don't know whether you realise, Eric, but the sheep industry hasn't been too flush over years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but there's a level where I think it's applicable.
Right.
And I'm probably just below that.
Okay, thank you.
That's my Olsen P levels, not my discharge. I just make a comment about that, Eric, that as far as a farm business operator goes, putting nutrients that I paid for down waterways is not my goal.
No.
The only thing I think you can have for free for me is my E. coli. Yeah. All other nutrients I want, your value.
You made a comment about yield, and I was wondering how you would actually accommodate that, given your comments about winter grazing, and wondered whether the best place to capture that was in the farm management plan. But I was just interested, and we've come across that before, some crop yields are quite different, and as a result, the impact on the paddock is quite different as well.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't bring in the photos. It's not my place to bring in photos of neighbours' regimes. But so there's some beet growing on heavy soils on my boundary, and if you look at my light crop of swede and grass and soft turnip and the damage there, so I've already sown out those paddocks, versus the bog and the destruction that is high yield beet crops on heavy soils. It's not a runner to me. So perhaps you have an option. If you exceed X yields on a soil type, then you need a consent. and by default though you're allowed more than this silly 50 hectare rule, because I'd seen the damage was less or a greater area than absolutely stuff the soil profile and the full system of, and it depends on your soil type. But I think if you're going to ask people to do more and more intensive winter crops, you're going to get a problem that you didn't wish for.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
And thank you, Mr. Black. No further questions, but again, thank you very much for coming out. It's been very helpful.
Thank you.